In today's gospel, Peter makes his profession of faith in the Lord and is appointed head over the church. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. Friends, I have a question for all of us to think about today. How do you handle the power and authority that you have? Now, before you start by saying, "I have no power or authority in my life," we all have some, whether it's at work, with our friends, or our family. Now, truth be told, my wife Andrea and I are still negotiating the level of power that I have in our household, so we'll talk about that another time. In our first reading today, from the 22nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, we find the prophet Isaiah's only criticism of an individual. If you read through Isaiah, he criticizes nations, he criticizes peoples, including his own people, but this is the only time he singles out one individual for criticism. And Isaiah focuses on Shebna, the royal steward of the reign of the king of King Hezekiah of Judea. Today, we would think about that role as kind of like a prime minister. So what rouses the ire of Shebna, of Isaiah against Shebna, where he states, "I will thrust you from your office and pull you down from your station"? It's pretty harsh stuff from Isaiah. So what did this guy do wrong? Well, we have to look a little bit earlier in the chapter, roughly verse 15 and forward, to find out what happened. And we read, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, up, go up to that official Shebna, master of the palace. What have you done here? Whom have you here that you have hewn for yourself a tomb here, hewing a tomb on high, carving a resting place on the rock? The Lord shall hurl you down headlong, mortal man. He shall grip you firmly, he'll roll you up and toss you like a ball into a broad land. There you will die, there with the chariots you glory in, you disgrace your master's house. I will thrust you from your office and pull you down from your station." Wow. Isaiah is complaining that Shebna has contrived to build an elaborate tomb for himself on the heights, probably the Mount of Olives. It appears this is not just a resting place for his body, but a monument to himself, and on the heights that everyone will see at an incredible amount of cost. Shebna is seeing himself as a pretty significant person, and he wants all of us to know that forever. He's thinking, people will remember my name because they will see my monument. I have to admit, when I read this chapter in Isaiah, it made me laugh. Shebna has used enormous amounts of money, energy, and time on a project only to aggrandize his ego. How ironic. Shebna wants all of us to know who he is by building this tomb forever. I imagine that few of us, if any of us, knew who Shebna was before the first reading or me talking about him right now. And now we know of him only from the criticism of Isaiah. Sounds like a project that's gone really bad. We read on that because of his significant flaws and ego, the Lord removes Shebna from his position and places Eliakim, and says beautifully that he will set him on a peg on a firm place, and he will place the key of the house of David on his shoulder. So this brings us back to the question, how do you use the power and authority that you have? And while there are people who have explicit official power positions, everybody has some kind of power. You have it in your own family, you have it in your community, you have it in your place of work. The crucial spiritual question is, what do you do with it? Does our ego tempt us to use that power to build monuments to ourselves? The point is that we must use our power precisely to benefit those that we serve. That is why God gave us that power, for the sake of others. So ask yourself that question, just like I do. Are you operating like Shebna, spending much of your time and energy building a monument to yourself, or are you breathing life into others? We know there are two types of people in the world, some that breathe life into the room and others that suck the life out of the room. If you're drawing everything into the black hole of your ego, you take the life out of people. But the best people and the best people in authority breathe life into people. So let us spend some time over the next few weeks thinking about the kind of power we all have. We first must acknowledge that whatever legitimate power we've been given from God. It comes from His permission. It's He who has given it to us. So how do we cooperate with that grace? And we must be honest. It's a point of spiritual meditation for myself as well. We don't want to waste the precious spiritual energy or waste the spiritual energy of others around us, building monuments that will eventually be mocked like Shebna. Instead, whatever power you have, whatever keys you've been given, unlock the door to leading a deeper life for yourself and everyone around you. I'd like to close with a quote from J. Oswald Sanders. Those of you may not know him, he was the director of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship in the 1950s and 60s. And he states, "True greatness, true leadership, is found in giving yourself in service to others, not in coaxing or inducing others to serve you. True service is never without cost. It often comes with painful baptism of suffering. But the true spiritual leader is focused on the service he or she can render to God and other people, not on the residuals and the perks of high office or a holy title. We must aim to put more into our life than we take out of it." May God bless you.